Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is the Niners Wire podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Madsen. Joining me, as always, is Niners Wire editor-in-chief Chris Biederman, along with Niners Wire contributor Rob Lauder. And the 49ers lost Sunday to the Bills 45-16. If there was any kind of hope of a turnaround that was going to land them in the thick of a playoff race for the final few weeks, it died in Buffalo on Sunday, as the Bills did anything and everything they wanted on offense. And as I said, eventually trounced the 49ers in Colin Kaepernick's season debut, 45-16. And guys, I think it's time we start kind of looking down the schedule and seeing if there's any wins on this team, because I'm not seeing many.
No, there really aren't many. I mean, you have to look at it and say, okay, the 49ers have to stop the run to beat this team. That's probably not going to happen. The 49ers have to score some points to beat this team. Probably not going to happen. They're allowing more rushing yards than they're getting through the air on offense. It's basically
win a lot of games.
No, it's, and I never thought this would happen, that this team under Chip Kelly would actually be worse than last year's team under Jim Tom Sula. Because, I mean, you'd think the young roster got a little bit older. They added a little bit more talent. They have a bit more competent of a coaching staff, and it hasn't happened. So here we are in week seven, talking about draft position, seeing what games left on the schedule that they could possibly win. It's bad times, but at the same time, the draft is fun because we could let our imaginations run wild and watch a bunch of YouTube highlight mixtapes and listen to some Young Jeezy on those mixtapes. So
would you say that our imaginations run like LeSean McCoy did on Sunday?
I would hope so.
Terrible.
I would hope so. No, I mean, it's to the point. It's really bad. And you just have to think that Trent Baalke's going to be gone soon. And you guys both wrote extensively about it this week, looking at different angles of Trent Baalke's failings. And you can find those pieces on the Niners Wire. Just search Trent Baalke there. They'll be there. What is there to say? There isn't really a silver lining to even come out of the game. You can look at just about any game and say, okay, well, they did this fine. They were pretty good here. And that just wasn't there Sunday. Like, even it was a 4-point game into the third quarter, but at no point did you feel confident the 49ers were going to make a run, because they weren't stopping the Bills at all in the running game. They weren't stopping them on third down. I think they were 7-for-7 on their first third to start the game on third down, the Bills, which is ridiculous when you think about, I mean, you know, all due respect to Tyrod Taylor, you would not expect him to light the 49ers up like that with his efficiency. Shady McCoy, I mean, that was pretty obvious going in that he was going to dominate that game. So, yeah, they didn't do anything well, and they're one of those teams now that is in serious conversation with the Cleveland Browns for the number one overall pick.
Well, and the saddest part is like, the Bills got so confident in their running game that they were just snapping the ball to LeSean McCoy. They're like, yeah, let's not even make Tyrod Taylor a part of the factor. Let's just snap it straight to McCoy, and we'll still gain 15 yards or run it in for a touchdown. It really got kind of embarrassing. Like, it was like, you know, like we were talking about today, they had zero respect for the 49ers run defense. They were just pretty much doing whatever they wanted to. I think LeSean McCoy averaged like 7.4 yards per carry, 0.2, somewhere in there. Just a ridiculous number. You know, that's 21 yards every three plays. Like, when you think of it that way, that's just insane.
You see guys average 7.2 yards a carry after they rip off like a 50-yard run on their fourth carry of the game, not at the end of the game after they've carried the ball 15 times.
Well, yeah, and Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus, friend of the website, shout out to Jeff.
Love Jeff.
He tweeted out a stat. He said, in nickel and dime, the 49ers are giving up 9.8 yards per carry. Or at least they did on Sunday in their nickel and dime package, which is just ridiculous. It's like that you might as well just not even play defense. It's like, it's that bad. It's the Niners knew that the Bills were going to run the ball, and the Bills just didn't care, and they were going to stick to it. And the 49ers had no answers, and they just kept missing tackles. So yeah, it's to the point, and it's demoralizing. If you're a defense, the first thing you have to do as a defense in the NFL is stop the run, because that cuts the offensive playbook in half. It makes it more difficult for them to move the chains and get in favorable situations. If you can't stop the run, then you're not going to stop anybody, which is why it's so difficult to look at this schedule and find more than two or three wins left for this team this season.
Okay, so let's do that then. Let's do that. Let's get the 49ers schedule up, and let's try and track down some wins. Because they've got to be in there, right? They're not going to go 1-15.
Well, I wouldn't say that yet.
I can't really rule anything out.
I feel it's imperative to mention to our listeners that we are, and we've talked about it before we came on the air, we are going to do our absolute best to stay positive and keep some form just grasping it at air here. But talk about something positive here, because we didn't want to drown your ears in negativity for 30, 35 minutes. So this is our way of keeping it real here.
So let's do that. Okay. So next week, they get the Buccaneers at Levi Stadium. The Buccaneers are coming off a win on Thursday night over a banged up. No, I'm sorry. That was last week.
They're coming off a win Monday, and they had a bye this last weekend.
Win Monday, that's right. Okay, so they're coming off a bye. They got to come into San Francisco. I think the 49ers are going to win.
Well, I think the Niners are winning one of their next two. They're either going to beat Tampa or New Orleans. I don't think they'll win both. They'll win one of those two games.
All right, so I've got them beating the Bucs before the bye.
Well, I think the 49ers are actually get some luck here. But unless I'm mistaken, I think is Charles Sims and Doug Martin, are they both injured?
Yeah, Charles Sims went to the IR.
Yeah, he's on IR. Martin has a hamstring injury that's kept him out since week two. He has not practiced this week as of Monday. So he's questionable. But I don't know. I mean,
I'm definitely not saying that Jaquez Wodgers cannot run all over the 49ers defense. I'm not saying that, because there is a really good chance that he will or can. But I'm saying that at least the Buccaneers are without their top two running backs, which gives them some realm of a possibility of stopping the run, you know, at home.
Okay, so we have them at 2-5. I think we all have them at 2-5 for the bye week. Next one, they host New Orleans. I think they're going to lose after beating Tampa Bay. They'll lose to New Orleans.
Yeah, I've got an L there too. I think they'll score a few, but I don't think the Saints might not even bring their punter.
Or the 49ers offense will be able to score on the Saints defense because it's so bad, but I don't think they're going to be able to score at the pace that the Saints are going to be able to score on the 49ers. So I think that's another loss.
Okay, quick note about the Saints. 33.6 points per game allowed by the Saints defense, just behind the Niners for last in the NFL. The 49ers are 30.8 at 31st.
Yeah.
The two worst defenses in the league.
At Arizona, the Niners are losing. The question is going to be if Colin Kaepernick's still the starter during that game, if he is able to come out of that game with his confidence, or if it's going to just kill his season and or career.
Are we going to see Ponder before the season's over?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. As long as we're on the same page on that one.
So you're losing against the Cardinals, then the Patriots.
Yeah.
No chance. No chance.
Christian Ponder versus Tom Brady is going to be bad.
So that puts him at what? 2-7? 2-8.
2-7. Oh, no, 2-8. You're right. Patriots. Yep. 2-8.
Come on, Chris.
Come on, Chris. So 2-8.
You by Sculpin.
I'm drinking an Anchor Porter right now. It's tremendous. Anyways, they follow the Patriots game with a couple of games that we talked about as possible winnable games at Miami.
I don't see it. I mean, when's the last time they've won a 10 a.m. road start? Do you even know that? It was Chicago last year, right?
That's got
to be. Yeah, it was Chicago. Okay. So, I mean.
But still, that Bears team is bad.
I can't favor them, I guess. The Bears team is bad. But, Miami are.
No, Miami just beat the Steelers.
I'm not giving
them a lot. No. I'm giving them an L there.
The Dolphins have a running back that can currently run, so they will lose.
Their running backs all have legs. L for the 49ers.
okay, then at Chicago.
This is another game that you're kind of tempted to say, hey, they might win that one. Gabbert beat the Bears last year at Soldier Field, but I don't think so this year.
Barely beat the Bears. That was one of those games. Came down to a missed field goal, gave it to the 49ers, and then, you know, to Gabbert's
two
credit.
Missed field goals.
Yeah. And you know, he hit that awesome pass at the end to Torrey Smith, but at the same time, I felt like that game should have never been theirs. But that's kind of how the NFL works. But I'm going loss on that one.
All right, then they're home. Then they're home for the Jets.
I think I'm going to go win on that one.
So the Jets are 1-5. Who's going to play quarterback for the Jets at that game? That's going to be interesting because they have four quarterbacks on their roster.
Colin Kaepernick.
I don't know if I mentioned it to you guys or not, but I think if Kaepernick is not on the 49ers next year, which is a real distinct possibility, I think the Jets are a prime landing spot.
Such a huge upgrade from Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean, is it a huge upgrade, though?
No, that was pure sarcasm.
He can play. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, he completed, 5 of 18 in the second half. And he had a few runs on passing plays, like, he completed 5 passes in someone calculated it today. I don't remember what the exact number was, but he completed 5 passes in like 22 pass attempts because he scrambled 4 times.
Yikes. That's bad.
Not good.
All right. I'll beat the Jets.
You don't think they beat the Jets? I do think they'll beat the Jets. If not the Jets, I think they'll win too.
Yeah, I'll go win versus the Jets. I'll give them a win versus the Jets just because I think two wins throughout the whole season might be just not enough.
3-9. Yeah, is that right?
Yep. 3-10.
3-10.
Come on, Chris.
Fun times.
This podcast is brought to you by Sculpin.
All right, they're going to lose at Atlanta unless Atlanta just does the same thing they did last year and melt down in the second half of the season.
Now,
Atlanta,
no chance.
Dude, they have two starting running backs. The 49ers are going to give up 800 yards rushing.
the Falcons could start me that game. Wow. And they'd still win.
We need a hashtag for that.
Okay, so they finish out two divisional games with the Rams and the Seahawks. I think they win one of the three games. They're going to lose to Atlanta. I think they win one of the Jets, Rams.
No, and don't you say it.
No, I'm not saying it. They're going to win one of the Jets or Rams games.
Leave the Seahawks picks to me.
Well, the Seahawks might have the division so far clinched by then that they might not even play anybody that game.
So the 49ers beat them with Boykin then. Or excuse me, the Seahawks beat the 49ers with Boykin.
Yeah, they could. They could.
I've got them losing out.
Okay, so I think we all have them at 3-13. Is that?
I've got 2-14.
2-14. Okay. So they'll be right there. You already look at the Browns schedule. They're going to be right there for that first pick. Yeah. So the question then becomes, where do you go with that first pick? Are you taking a chance with a quarterback knowing that you're going to need a quarterback badly, knowing full well that you could invest in a quarterback with that first, second, or third, or fourth pick, whatever it is, and it doesn't work out, and then all of a sudden you're set back even further, or if you're looking at an edge rusher, say Myles Garrett from Texas A&M, do you just take him if he's the best player available and wait on a quarterback later? Go.
I think there's a whole lot of like contingencies that have to happen to decide their direction. I guess that's sort of obvious, but I think if the 49ers can land some sort of decent free agent quarterback, then they can leave that position alone earlier in the draft. I don't think anyone considers Watson or Kaiser, if he enters the draft, to be like 100% home run picks, Andrew Luck types. So they may be comfortable in kind of ignoring that if they can get a decent free agent quarterback. They don't get a decent free agent quarterback, then they need to go quarterback up there. They have to.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
The list of free agent quarterbacks.
It's terrible.
Kirk Cousins is probably the best quarterback there.
Well, then let me rephrase that then. We'll go free agent / trade. You know, maybe they can pull somebody.
Okay. Trade is much more likely.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe they can pull someone from a team or just, you know, ride the Kirk Cousins or Ryan Fitzpatrick chain. I don't know. If they end up doing then they could still go quarterback because their quarterback they're going to have is more of a bridge. But in the end, what I want them to avoid is if don't draft a quarterback early in the draft if you don't have anyone for him to throw to. If you go quarterback, you better make serious investments in free agency at pass catchers. Otherwise, you're just throwing him into the fire, and he won't be any better than what the 49ers have now.
Well, yeah, I can't imagine the 49ers are not, if they get a quarterback, I can't imagine they're just not going to address the receiver spot. That's going to happen. Just for fun, can we go through the free agent quarterback list? So yes. There's Kirk Cousins, who was given the franchise tag this year, who might not be back. We'll see. He's far and away the best free agent quarterback available. So here's the list. EJ Manuel, who got a little bit of burn Sunday against the 49ers. Sean Hill, our old friend. Geno Smith, Matt Cassel, Brian Hoyer, Mike Glennon, Blaine Gabbert, Matt Schaub, Ryan Nassib, Landry Jones, Dan Orlovsky, Kellen Clemens, Mark Sanchez, Kellen Moore, Josh Johnson, our other old friend, Matt Barkley, Ryan Mallett, Austin Davis, Christian Ponder, 49ers starting quarterback of the future.
Our current friend.
Case Keenum, Matt McGloin, Ryan Griffin, Thad Lewis, coming off his ACL tear, Connor Sean, Kevin Hogan. So the 49ers are not going to find anything more than a backup quarterback in free agency. So if they do go the route of a veteran, it could be via trade. There could be a team, say, like, if the Ravens want to go another direction and they don't want Joe Flacco anymore. Not that I think that's logical, but say the Lions don't want Sam Bradford and they want it to go a different direction and get his contract off the books. There are guys like that that might intrigue the 49ers, that might allow them the flexibility to go elsewhere with that pick if they're not totally sold on Deshaun Kaiser or Deshaun Watson. Or
did you mean Matthew Stafford or Sam Bradford?
I get those two mixed up all the time. Yeah, I met the Lions one.
Yeah, Matt Stafford. Not but I mean, you said Sam Bradford, and that got me thinking, you know, the Vikings traded for Sam Bradford.
Deal. He signed a two-year deal, so he'll probably be back for them because they're not – I can't imagine they're going to be banking on having Bridgewater at the start of the season.
No, but, I mean, that leaves Sam Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater on the same roster, which I could very easily see them staying with, but at the same time, that's two starting quarterbacks, so maybe they try and capitalize on that. So
hey – Nick Foles, I'm just saying, currently backing up in Kansas City is 14-4 under Chip Kelly in his career.
Well, that just means he's going to be good, right, with the 49ers?
Yeah, exactly. Bring him in this year. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Solved it.
Hey, you know what? No. We don't get to sit here and talk about Sam Bradford, and I don't get to bring up Nick Foles.
That is fair.
Fair enough.
That's fair.
Hey, you know what? I wrote a lot about Sam Bradford in the offseason before the Eagles re-signed him, and I don't think I caught hell for anything else more than that. Like, just mentioning the name of Sam Bradford, 49ers fan just getting furious at the idea, like, he sucks. Like, he's now quarterbacking the best team in the NFL right now.
And he's doing a good job.
He's playing pretty damn well. Like, so, obviously Bradford wouldn't have the 49ers as the best team in the NFC right now, but like I'm just defending myself. It wouldn't have hurt, and the 49ers would be in a better spot. And I'm gonna stop talking about it because no one wants to hear me talk about that.
I wouldn't say we're exploring all possibilities right now, Chris. I mean, don't hold yourself back.
I'm personally for the idea of building a team that can compete, and then bringing a quarterback in via the draft. However, with the amount of money the 49ers have in free agency. I think they can do a lot of that building and then afford to go with a guy like, you know, a Deshaun Watson or a Deshaun Kaiser because for the reason I just said, they'll have a team essentially built that a quarterback can kind of step into and help compete. I mean, they're not going to compete for the playoffs next year, but it can be a real building block towards that.
Well, and to those of you that haven't heard yet, the 49ers are on track. Should they part ways with Colin Kaepernick, they're on track to have over $100 million in cap space, which is
that's a lot,
which is unreal. I don't, I don't even remember hearing about somebody with that much cap space. I'm sure it's happened, but it's an unreal amount of cap space that pretty much allows them to sign, if they wanted to, just go for broke. They could literally sign every big name free agent that becomes available. Literally every single one of them. All of them. But, you know, so whoever they bring in, if whether it's Balky or a new GM, is going to have quite the a smorgasbord of options in free agency.
Yeah, and Kyle, I agree with what you said, building a team and you know, putting a quarterback in the best situation possible. I think you have to look at what the Raiders did in 2014 sort of as a blueprint for a situation like that to get...
That's a weird sentence.
Right. Yeah, it is a weird sentence. But to get Khalil Mack and Derek Carr in the first two rounds of the same draft, I mean, you can do it. You can build a team in a way where you don't have to use that first pick on a quarterback. And there are plenty of examples to show for it. And you can look back. Obviously, it doesn't look as good now, but in 2011 when the Niners took Alden Smith, seventh overall, and then waited for the 36th pick to take Colin Kaepernick. And then the Raiders took, 3 years later, they took Derek Carr with the 36th pick after taking Khalil Mack, fifth overall. So, you know, if Myles Garrett's there, if Cleveland's going to take a quarterback, whether it's Kaiser or Watson or whoever it is, if those guys come out, that's the other thing. Like, these guys are underclassmen. They might not all be there. Right. They might just say, screw it. Like, we're going to go back to school and get better.
To go to the 49ers.
Or the Browns, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I don't know that we've seen much from Watson or Kaiser, definitely Kaiser. I don't know if we've seen enough from either of them to be like, yeah, they should feel totally comfortable about coming into the draft next year. They might try to stay and get a little bit more seasoning. So, I mean, I don't think you reach for Brad Kaya, let's just say, if there are better players on the board. And I think when you're picking that early, you have to take the best player available. I think the 49ers, I mean, bottom line, with that pick, it looks like it's going to be top five. If they have to find an edge rusher, a quarterback, or a receiver, or a middle linebacker, if there's a middle linebacker good enough to play next to Navarro Bowman or replace Navarro Bowman, depending on how that all shakes out. I'm not married to the idea that they have to take a quarterback with that pick. Obviously, they need a quarterback, and if it's not that pick, it has to happen in the second, third, maybe the fourth round if there's someone there they think they can turn into Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson or whatever. But I'm not married to the idea of taking a quarterback with that first pick.
Well, I think the one thing that they are, like, and they need to be in a lock to do is address the receiving core. Like, they should keep Torrey Smith, because I literally do not hold Torrey Smith at fault at all for his lack of production. I mean, we saw just last week that he was open for a touchdown at least three times and was underthrown or overthrown or, you know, not, you know, he didn't get the ball. So I think they keep him around, but everything, no matter what happens, whether they go edge rusher, quarterback, wherever, they have to go after the receiving core in a major way. I think on top of the free agent list is Alshon Jeffrey, which would be a nice, not that it may necessarily be by Balky, but that would be a nice redemption for him, giving him, he accidentally wrote down the wrong, or accidentally drafted the wrong AJ. You know, he drafted AJ Jenkins, and I think he meant to draft Alshon Jeffrey and just wrote AJ on the card. So, you know,
I can confirm that he did not. He actually meant to draft AJ Jenkins. That really happened.
Yeah, it did. I'm just trying to forget about it or create some alternate reality where it was just a mistake. But, you know, no matter which way they go in the draft, I think they're, as far as free agents go, they're priority number one. And even through the draft, it's probably priority number two or three at the lowest, is to bring in some pass catchers that can actually, you know, catch passes.
Would anyone be against the 49ers just spending 8 picks on wide receivers?
Yeah.
Cool. Good talk.
I think we'd be against it.
I mean, if they drafted 3, maybe 4, I think.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, what they need to do is just look at the Texans draft last year. I mean, they went wide receiver like 2 out of the first 3 rounds, and Will Fuller and the former Ohio State quarterback, Chris.
Braxton Miller, and they also got Tyler Irvin, the fast running back from San Jose State.
Yeah, so there's, you know, I could definitely see them making a big investment like that, not just waiting until the later rounds, like devoting 2 out of the first maybe 4 rounds to wide receivers or some sort of playmaker.
And that, and that was a weird thing.
Defensive linemen and no corners.
Yeah, I think they're good there. Although they could use, like, if they got like a real legit run stuffer, I think that would definitely benefit them. Like a nose tackle. I don't think you use a first or second round pick on a nose tackle.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting, though. Chip Kelly seems like he took a real hands-off approach in this draft. And I think that's really interesting because, I mean, he met with like three quarterbacks. He met with Goff. He met with, or no, he didn't even meet with Wentz. Ryan Day, the quarterback's coach, met with Wentz. I think Goff and Connor Cook were the only quarterbacks that Chip Kelly met with personally, or at least that's what's come out publicly. He said he didn't meet with Dak Prescott. It just seemed like Chip Kelly took a real hands-off approach to this draft, particularly when you think about, you know, what the 49ers needed in terms of skill position players and all that. And part of me wonders, like, did Chip Kelly go into this thing thinking, okay, I'm not going to ruffle any feathers. I'm not going to overstep my bounds. I'm going to let the personnel department handle all of this. And I'm not going to create any drama because I created a bunch of drama in Philadelphia and I'm just going to be hands off and let them do all of it for me. And in doing that, what Chip Kelly might have done is set himself up perfectly to allow Trent Baalke and his personnel staff to be the ones to take the fall for all this. Because I don't think, I mean, I don't think Chip Kelly's been particularly good X's and O's wise, but at the same time, I don't find him at fault for the 49ers being so bad. I think just about any coach with this roster would be pretty bad, and particularly without Navarro Bowman. But I think it's interesting the way Chip Kelly has handled the season, because it seems like he was very willing to kind of lay in the weeds, coach the team, not overstep his bounds, and then if things went bad, people couldn't point the finger at him. And I think I think it's kind of smart, to be honest. And you look at it now, it's like Trent Baalke is obviously the next on the chopping block, and Chip is going to have some say, I think, in who's putting the roster together next year. If it's not him, I mean, there's a scenario where Chip Kelly could become the GM again of a team, even after that disaster in Philadelphia. There's a scenario where Jed York could just make Chip Kelly football czar, and he'd work with Tom Gamble, and that would be it. So I think it's been interesting the way Chip Kelly's handled this whole thing this year so far.
Well, I think to your point, he's kind of like, he has to wait a while, because what he did in Philadelphia is just too fresh in everybody's mind, and he needs to allow the situation that's already kind of unfolding to unfold before people start to consider him kind of a viable option, even if it's not as a full-on GM, you know, even if they kind of even say, okay, you're the assistant GM without the title. But I think he needs to let that situation seem worse than what happened in Philadelphia before people start to consider him as a solution.
Yeah, I don't think you can. Yeah, there's zero chance that, given this team is going to go 2-14, 3-13, and have a top five pick with him in his first year as head coach, there's no way you then turn around and give him personnel power on top of that. I mean, he might be involved because he's the head coach, but there's no way they'd turn the reins over to him and say, all right, Chip, make it happen. No chance.
I agree with you in that it doesn't seem logical for the 49ers to do that, but I will point out that this is the 49ers doing it, and an organization that hasn't been willing to spend money unnecessarily. I'm calling them cheap is really what I'm doing. So
no, I get you.
The 49ers signed Trent Baalke to a multi-year deal. I think it's through 2018 or 2019. Side note, we asked Trent Baalke about it in the spring, and he said he didn't know how long his contract lasted, which is either just ridiculously ignorant on his part, or he was just sandbagging us.
Knowing him, I'd probably say the odds are on the latter.
Could be, yeah. But I mean, if the 49ers fire Trent Baalke, they're going to have to keep paying him because of his contract. unless he gets picked up by another team, I would presume, because that's how it is with coaches. I'm not entirely sure how it is with executives in terms of their salary and stuff like that. But like, is Jed York gonna be willing to pay Trent Baalke and a new executive at the same time, or could Jed York just be like, "Well, Chip, I mean, you're good at this. We have Tom Gamble here. We could give Tom Gamble a new title and a few $100,000 more a year, or we can go out and hire someone else." I mean, it's conceivable, despite it making logical sense, that Jed York just says, "Yeah, Chip, like, you're in charge. You and Tom Gamble work this thing out and put this roster together and build it how you want to build it."
Well, now the scary thing is, and you'd have to correct me if I'm wrong here, but would, if let's say Jed York fires Baalke and his contract dictates they have to keep paying him, would he be paying Jim Tomsula and Trent Baalke at the same time to not be on the team?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh man, that's incredible.
The good thing is the Niners have skyrocketed in value since they built Levi's Stadium.
Shouts out to Jim Harbaugh.
That's a whole different discussion. Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh.
This is going to be so bad. Head coach of future 49er Jabril Peppers, Jim Harbaugh. inside jokes are good radio. So Myles Garrett is my go-to guy, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, to me,
if they have a top two pick.
Yeah, if Deshaun Watson really lights it up the rest of the season and builds off what he did last year, like, I think you just have to take the best player available. It's just a scenario where if one of the best players available is at a position that you could use, and the 49ers could badly use an edge rusher, because, I mean, right now their best edge player is Ahmad Brooks. And that's not saying a lot.
That guy just keeps hanging around, man. He just keeps finding a way to hang around.
Yeah, he's relatively...
He smashed a bottle over a guy's face. And he's still around.
Yeah. Well, he has two sacks to lead all... He's the only 49ers outside linebacker to have a sack this year. And yeah, Aaron Lynch was suspended for 4 games, but there wasn't anything that I saw from Aaron Lynch the last 2 games that made me think he was, like, the cornerstone player that he looked like a couple years ago.
But they had second and third round picks in Carradine and Eli Harold in there. They got to do something.
Yeah, no, you're right. But, you know more than anybody Trent Baalke's what's happened with Trent Baalke's draft picks. I mean, the same thing with Corey Lemonnier. He was a third round pick. He was a defensive end who seemed like a good pass rusher and had a lot of promise. At least Lemonnier had a sack in the NFL, the 49ers, before going elsewhere. Eli Harold doesn't have any sacks. His only real sack opportunity he's had was that horse collar penalty he had on Russell Wilson week 3. And he doesn't set the edge particularly well in the running game. And, like, he's not, I mean, in some blitz plays, he has to cover slot receivers. Like, he did that on a third down in Buffalo. He was forced to cover one of the Bills receivers, and it was like the easiest first down of the game. It's like the 49ers I'm not sold on. I thought Carradine was going to be good. I thought he might lead the 49ers in sacks this year, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen either.
Okay, so going back to the fact that both of you guys are for the most part on board with Myles Garrett, and I am too, I don't think there's anything bad about taking a guy that good. There just isn't. He's that good. You kind of, like you said, best player available. But at the same time, I think they should only go that route if they have in some way addressed the quarterback position. If they are, I don't know, whatever they do, if they're planning on rolling into 2017 with Kaepernick, Gabbert, or Ponder, then picking Myles Garrett would just be like that gif where that dog's sitting at the table, the room is on fire, and it just says everything's okay. Like, that to me seems like this is fine. That seems like to me what it would be doing. But like I said, Myles Garrett's incredible. He would be a home run no matter what, but it's just they have to do something on offense. It's not even funny anymore.
Well, right, but you can take that quarterback in the second round. Like, you could find a quarterback, like I mentioned with the Khalil Mack, Derek Carr thing. It could be the same thing.
I think that every round that goes by, though, the odds of finding a quarterback that is supposed to be that starting quarterback becomes less and less. So your gamble goes up with every round, and it's just, you know, no pun intended on the gamble. But, you know, I don't know. It just seems like to me they need to make that 100% commitment to the position and not alienate all the hope that they can.
Sure, but if you can take an elite defensive player, what looks to be an elite defensive player in Garrett, you take him in the first round, grab a quarterback in the second round, and then, you know, build elsewhere, you know, whether it's free agency or later in the draft or what have you. At least if that quarterback doesn't work out, you've built something. There's something coming out of this draft. But if you dedicate that first pick, you're throwing all your eggs in the basket of this quarterback and he doesn't work out, you have to stick with him for a couple years while you try and build him and develop him, and then he stinks, and now you're back at square one at that position while everybody else is getting old.
It's true, but I mean, at the same time, how many of the starting quarterbacks were those same type of investments? I mean, you at one point you just have to swing for it and hope it works out. I mean, they could, like you were saying, it could still work out in the second or third round, but it's like every other team that's really trying to fix that position is making that investment with like a top five pick. So
we can go back. I mean, obviously the 49ers have an example on their roster right now in Blaine Gabbert, that just because someone is taken in the first round doesn't mean they're going to be the answer. And I think
Right. Obviously
you need to scout well, you need to find the right guy. You ultimately want to put the best draft class together that you can. So whether or not the quarterback is in the first or second round, well, if you take a quarterback in the first round and then there isn't an impact player in the second round while you pass on a bunch of impact players in the first round, then you really need that quarterback to work out. Whereas if you are confident that you could get a Myles Garrett or someone of similar stature who you know is going to be really good, who doesn't have the questions because everything's already answered for you on tape and you know what he is physically, like, you don't know how a college quarterback is going to come into the NFL, and it's a lot riskier. So it's just a scenario where you're weighing risk versus reward. You're looking at your roster and you're saying, God, we really need to upgrade the pass rush. We could probably find a generational pass rusher here, and then maybe we could plug a quarterback in later. You know, like, we could focus on finding pass catchers, maybe upgrading the offensive line if we need to do that, to put the quarterback in a situation that's better. You know, like, improving the defense and improving that side of the ball is ultimately going to help your offense, right? Like, if the quarterback doesn't have to play from behind all the time, that's going to help the offense. So you have to take a macro look at this thing and say, we need help on the edge, we need help at receiver. The 49ers will probably end up drafting another guard pretty highly within these next couple of years. So I don't know if you have to be married to the idea of taking a quarterback with that first pick, just given how badly the 49ers need to upgrade the entire roster. Because if they say they whiff on their quarterback and ultimately the entire draft class suffers because of it, then you're not any better going forward. So, I mean, that's my point, is just focus on finding the best player possible and building your roster from there, and hopefully finding a quarterback within, you know, the first few rounds with, I keep mentioning it, but with the Raiders and Khalil Mack and Derek Carr as that blueprint.
Well, and I think in the end, what you can find a little solace in too is, no matter who the 49ers take with a top five pick, the odds are really good that they're going to need him. Like, it's just their roster is that bad and that depleted that it's going to be really hard to find a position outside of maybe corner that the 49ers don't need that high. So, you know, that's kind of a good thing, is if they take a Myles Garrett, if they take a Deshaun Watson, or, you know, if they end up more towards, you know, the 5-7 range, which seems unlikely at this point, even if you're taking a wide receiver that high, the odds are there that position's a position of need just because the roster is so, you know, used up at this point.
Yeah, and I think a big factor in this is going to be, I don't think any of us think Trent Baalke is going to be the guy drafting. I certainly don't think he should be anyways. So I think they're going to approach this offseason hopefully a little bit differently than they have in years past. I think we'll see him spend some money in free agency, which will make the draft much less dire, I think. Obviously, it's going to be a big deal, and they're going to need to really hit a home run in this draft if they want to contend anytime in the next couple of years. But I think the spending in free agency is going to be big, and see if they can find some impact players that way.
It's sad that the conversation has got to this point so early in the season, but that's just kind of how things are. And I mean, the good thing is the draft allows us to watch college football more closely and look at all these different players. And I mean, the draft is really fun. And that's probably the only positive going forward for the rest of the season. And it's going to be interesting to see if and when the 49ers get rid of Trent Baalke and how that's going to shape things, because they have players they could trade. They could get more draft picks. They'll obviously have a bunch of cap space, like we mentioned. So going forward, I mean, really, I don't know how you can... I mean, they're not going to rip off a bunch of wins and get back into this race. I feel pretty confident in saying that. So that's kind of how... That's kind of the approach that you have to have for this season, and it sucks that it got to that point so early, but...
Cooper Kupp and Jeremy Sprinkle. That's all I'm saying, guys. All right, fellas. Well, hey, this was a great chat. Thanks so much for joining me and for having me on with you guys, as always. This has been the Niners Wire Podcast. Appreciate everybody listening. Make sure when you're not listening to the podcast, you're finding us at NinersWire.com. You can also check us out on Twitter at The Niners Wire. And we're on Facebook. Just search Niners Wire there, and you'll find us on Facebook. Again, thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been the Niners Wire Podcast. We are out.